So verse 77. Who amongst those with strong self-confidence need fear nothing that exists? I think it should mean need fear anything that exists. Anyway, those who have attained to truth and are unstained by error. Okay, so who among those with strong self-confidence need fear anything that exists? Those who have attained to truth and are unstained by error. Okay, so those who have attained to truth and are unstained by error refer to the Buddhas because they can perceive ultimate truth and conventional truth both correctly and simultaneously and don't see any contradiction between that. Okay, so when we have that deep understanding of how things exist, then there's nothing to fear whatsoever. So when they talk about the Buddha, they have different sets of qualities of the Buddha, and one is that the Buddha is fearless. Yeah, and there's four different kinds of fearlessness. But it's interesting to think, you know, that here's the Buddha fearless when fear and worry and anxiety rule so much of our lives. Okay. The Buddha also said that somebody who fears something that they don't need to fear is a fool, and somebody who doesn't fear what they should fear is also a fool. And if you look at it, okay, somebody who fears things that need not be feared, what are examples of that? Other people's opinions of us. Exactly. You know? And yet, how much of our time and energy is taken up worrying and being afraid of what other people think about us? You know, it's when you think about it, it might be very interesting to really, you know, kind of jot down how much time you spend thinking about different things. And, you know, just like, this person's mad at me. Oh, no. This person thinks I did something I didn't do. Oh, no. This person thinks I'm an idiot because they asked me a question. Oh, no. This person thinks da-da-da-da-da. You know, how much time we spend worrying and anxious about what people think about us. But is that something that is worth worrying about? Not at all. Not at all. And yet, you know, we're so completely worried about, do they approve of me or do they disapprove of me? Are they praising me? Are they blaming me? Do I have a good reputation? Do I have a bad reputation? Are they accusing me of something I didn't do? Yeah. And, you know, and we're so afraid, and yet that's not something that's really worthwhile being afraid of. Okay. Similarly, you know, I mean, just think in your life of all the things that you get afraid of that never happen and that there's no real good reason to be afraid of those things. Yeah. Like you have a stomach ache and then that means I have stomach cancer. I'm going to die. You know, a little bit exaggerated. You know, but when you think on the basis of in our life on the basis of some tiny amount of evidence, we go through and come out with some amazing conclusion that then terrifies us. Okay? And none of this is likely to happen. It's all just due to our imagination. Okay? On the other hand, the things that we should be afraid of, like creating negative karma and falling into the lower realms, that doesn't even enter our mind. Yeah? When we're angry, we never think, oh, I'm destroying merit by being angry. By being angry. Do you ever think that when you're angry at somebody? Do you ever stop and think, you know, all that merit that I created, meditating, doing generosity, keeping my precepts, I'm all destroying it by getting angry at this person? Do you think that? Yeah. if you really believe in karma, it stops the anger immediately. Because it's like, why am I going to waste my merit on this idiot? You know?
we try to stop as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Already had created.
Yeah. That thought may have already been there. So then you purify. Yeah, but at least you cut it. Because so often, you know, the thought comes, if we don't cut it, it goes on. And, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, we are in a foul mood, you know, with everybody we see. Because once we get in a bad mood, you know, why stay angry at one person when we can be in a bad mood and get angry at the world, you know? And then pretty soon everybody around us is like, yeah, you know, and meanwhile we're destroying our own merit. Okay, so you know what we should be afraid of is our afflictions and our afflictions coming up, you know. So it's in that regard that Milarepa said, you know, that he was afraid of the 8 worldly concerns. And so then he went to the mountains to meditate, and by meditating, then of course attaining realizations and having the self-confidence that comes from realizations, then he was no longer afraid. Okay? But it's very interesting, you know, I mean, because real self-confidence comes from having correct understanding. Yeah. But when our namtok, our preconception mind is functioning, we have tremendous self-confidence that what we're seeing is true. Don't we? When we're anxious, we have tremendous self-confidence that our anxiety is worthwhile. That's the wrong kind of self-confidence, isn't it? You know? So to really think about this, you know, to not be afraid of things that are we don't need to be afraid of, and yet to be afraid of the things that we should be afraid of. Yeah? Okay? It doesn't mean that fear doesn't mean paralyzed in fear. Oh, I'm so afraid of generating attachment. It's not like that. Okay? But you just are aware of what happens when the 8 worldly concerns play out, when the afflictions arise, and it's like, this is not going to take me in a good direction. And I have concern, you know, I dread the kind of result that it's going to bring. Yeah, and so then that really helps give us a firmer, clearer mind to restrain, not only physically and verbally, but also to cut it in our mind. But first we have to have some wisdom that can discern what to practice and what to abandon on the path. Okay? If we don't have that wisdom, then we don't know what's useless to be afraid of and what is worthwhile to, you know, be concerned with. So that's why it's so important to, you know, understand, hear teachings and to think about the teachings, you know, and to check them and make sure that, you know, that they're true. And then we'll know what to practice and abandon. And then that gives us, you know, then we can choose our fear correctly instead of our fear just coming up and completely overwhelming us and leaving us like a babbling idiot who can't think straight. You know, because that's true, isn't it? When we get terrified, we cannot think straight. We're like, oh, blah, 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 you know? And where does that get us? Okay, so, So you get angry at somebody else, then you apply some kind of antidotes. But you see, you're not really applying the antidotes. What you're doing is saying, I shouldn't think like this. I shouldn't feel like this. If you really apply the antidotes, then that thought disappears. And there's no anger energy left to turn in on yourself. But if you're just intellectually reciting, oh, that person's kind because they gave me a cup of tea and blah, 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 you know, you're not really believing it. So you have that anger energy, and what you're really doing is saying to yourself, I'm a bad person for being angry, I'm a bad person for being angry, I'm a bad person for being angry, and then you're stuffing your anger. Okay, and stuffing your anger and applying the antidotes are very different. Okay, yeah, so there is, when we notice afflictions arise, there is no reason to get mad at ourselves. Okay, because that only compounds the problem, doesn't it? And makes us really not think clearly. Right, yeah, this is very, thank you for raising this, that it's, you know, it's very important that we practice all these antidotes in our meditation, not just repeating them mechanically, but actually contemplating them so that our whole perspective changes. And in that way, integrating those antidotes into the way we see the world. Because in that case, then the antidotes work. When we're only intellectually saying it, then at the bottom of it is, I shouldn't feel this way because, you know, oh yes, it's really my karma coming back on me. There's no reason to be angry at this person, and I'm destroying my merit by being angry at them, blah, blah, blah. But we're not really believing it. All we're doing is basically saying, I shouldn't, you know, I'm bad for thinking or feeling the way I do. And that's not the point. Yeah, so it's really important in our meditation to meditate on these things long enough so that it really generates some feeling and our perspective really begins to change.